Well, it's an honor to be invited to come and be in the meeting. I've never been here before, and anybody that's been here knows why they've never been here before. Amen. You don't get here unless somebody invites you here. Isn't that right? I didn't. Yeah. I thought that GPS thing was messed up. I think, man, I've done messed up here. But anyway, it's good to be here. I'm not a pastor. I'm really not a church evangelist per se. I preach in prisons. I've been doing it for 33 years. I pastored Baptist Church for 10 years. Tried to. I give up and went to jail. Hallelujah. Amen. They don't walk out on you there, praise God. And you don't have to vote on nothing. Amen. That's a blessing. Don't pay much, but kind of balances out. Me and my wife just got one youngin'. He's our pastor. He's 42 years old, pastors Faith Baptist Church in White Pine, Tennessee, about, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 minutes from Pigeon Forge, going up 81 towards Virginia. You can't miss it. Exit 8, if you're ever up there on vacation and want to go to church. You know, most folks don't go to church on vacation, but few are the exception. If you got some convictions, amen, you know what I'm saying? You might want to come over. It's a good church, God's blessed. Amen. Been married to the same woman this month, 45 years. Hallelujah. That's a miracle, ain't it? Praise God. Amen. You just ask her. She's had it made for 45. Amen. It's been a real walk in the park for her. Hallelujah. But all kidding aside, I'm trying to get over being nervous here, and I don't want to get plumb over it. I think you get self-confidence. You get yourself in trouble. But I'm a little nervous always. Amen. I don't get nervous in prison. I know they're all crooked, but I don't know all you people. You don't know what you're dealing with around these places. But anyhow, and some of you don't have a sense of humor. I can tell them. And help you. Smile a little bit. Amen. Ain't a sin to grin. Amen. You need to laugh and smile as much as you can. I've had a few days in my life when they would smile. Anyway, I'm glad it ain't that way today, aren't you? I'm almost 74 years old. That's not the end of the world, but you can see it from here. You know what I'm saying? I do know I'm on the downhill side of this thing. Well, so much for all that. I'm rambling here. I hope this is the right message. I did pray about it and asked the Lord to help me. If he meant for me to go another direction, he'd give me some discernment or, you know, get me thinking a different way, and I trust he didn't. So I'm going to do the best I can tonight with this, and I, like I say, I'm honored. I don't know. I know the Phillips family and the rest of you. I don't know yet, but I appreciate the invite. I'm going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 40, also Luke chapter 3, Isaiah 40 and Luke chapter 3. In Isaiah 40 and verse 3, the Bible said, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Sure. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Then you look over in Luke chapter 3, you see the fulfillment of this prophecy here in Luke chapter 3, in verse 2, it said, and Annas, Caiaphas, being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he came in all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley should be filled, every mountain and hill should be brought low, and the crooked should be made straight, and the rough way should be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name, Lord, for letting me be here. Thank you for Brother Clifford inviting me to come, and it is an honor and a privilege somebody would allow me to come by and preach. And Lord, I know I'm not in great demand, but I do thank you that some folks have me come by. It is a blessing. And I'm sure I'm nothing the quality of the preacher they've already had this week, but I pray you'd help me, Lord, and just get in my path and stay in it and do the best I can with it. Use me now for your glory. Bless me, Lord, and fill me with the Holy Ghost, and help me say only that which is needful in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. You know, when you read about John the Baptist, he's a unique figure in the Word of God. And, you know, he came in this world because of a miraculous birth. You read that in Luke chapter 1. And his parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they wanted a child, but Elizabeth was barren, unable to birth babies. But as Zechariah served God in the temple, the angel Gabriel came to him and told him his wife was going to be with child. And we know John is the result of this birth. Amen. You know, John's not the only miracle baby in the Bible, but he's somewhat unique in the fact that God sent him to be the forerunner of the Messiah. He came to fulfill the prophecy given in Isaiah here. The fulfillment of it is in Luke chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. When you read this portion of scripture, you jump forward 30 years from the birth of John to the beginning of his ministry. And here he's preaching, amen. And there's some things we can learn and glean from these few simple thoughts tonight. Amen. And here I want to preach just a few minutes tonight, not being irreverent or disrespectful to the name of the Lord. But I want to preach on Jesus, the great equalizer. Amen. When it comes to this thing of salvation, it's all level ground at the foot of the cross. Amen. Don't make no difference. You drink your booze out of a martini cup at the country club or a brown paper bag under a bridge. You're just a dirty sinner. It's all level ground at the foot of the cross. Hey, when you read this, it seems like it's geographical. But one fellow said it's too graphic to be geographical. He's not talking about something physical here, but he's talking about something spiritual. God isn't a heavy equipment operator with a bulldozer coming to level everything out. He's going to do that in the future. But you know, Jesus said, the thief coming not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. In other words, Jesus come to seek and to save those that's lost and change their lives. I'm glad I got in on that. Hallelujah. And I want to preach when I talk about when it comes to salvation and this thing of getting saved. Amen. Amen. He is the great equalizer. Amen. Jesus came here to lift up some people. And Jesus came to bring down some people. And Jesus came to straighten out some people. And Jesus came to smooth over some people. He is the great equalizer when it comes to salvation and God saving sinners. I might have picked the wrong message, but I'm too far into it to back out now. You might as well try to help me a little bit. First of all, tonight, Jesus came to lift up some people. He said every valley should be filled. John's message opens with a word to the lowly. Those down in a valley, those living in a sinful hole that they're unable to climb out of on. Amen. He's the only one that has the power to lift up sinners. Amen. The psalmist said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, set my feet upon a solid rock, established my going, put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. First of all, tonight, he came to lift up some people. Matter of fact, the first folks that he went to and announced with a baby Jesus, God, when God became flesh, was some shepherds on the hillside. Amen. They were nobodies and looked down on by everyone else. But God's interested in those that's down on the bottom. Amen. I know I've been on the bottom. I'm not on the bottom now. These angels appeared to them shepherds. Those shepherds weren't allowed to worship in the temple. They weren't allowed to witness in the trial. They were looked down on, somewhat like kind of trash to the rest of society. But God thought more of them than most folks thought of them. And the angels told them, with this baby, baby God, can you imagine? Amen. I got to thinking, I wonder what Joseph, I know he wasn't Jesus' father, but somebody had to help Mary. Amen. And she delivered this baby. He put his hands on the baby. Amen. Somebody had to cut that umbilical cord like any other situation. Can you imagine? I have no idea. Amen. What an experience. These angels listen to the angels. These shepherds listen to these angels. And they went in obedience to these angels that were sent out by God and told them where the baby God was going to be birthed. And they obeyed. And they went and looked at this little baby. And they believed he was God in the flesh. And they got saved. And they, God lifted him up out of that valley of disgrace. He's in the business, neighbor, of lifting you up if you're living in sin. You can't get out of it on your own. I know I tried. I wanted out of it. But I just couldn't get out. But one day, 1974, in the month of November on a Sunday morning, amen, I staggered at Fairview Bible Baptist Church at 11:30. I was in a dope house early that morning to do what drug addicts do. But somebody got a hold of me. Jesus said no man could come to me except the Father who sent me draw him. Somebody had a hold of me. I know who he is now, but I didn't know who he is then. I was sick of my sin, ashamed of how I lived. And God drawed me to that church. I staggered in there that morning, hair down on my back. A pair of bell-bottom breeches on with patches on them. A t-shirt with a peace sign on it. Needle tracks in both my arms. Smell of whiskey and beer on my breath. Depressed on my way to hell. I didn't know what I was doing when I got there. By 15 out to 12, God lifted me up out of that hole. Birthed me in his family. Sealed me with the Holy Spirit. And gave me eternal life. Thank God Almighty, I'm not in that hole no more. Well, he's interested in lifting sinners up out of the valley of sin. Well, he lift these shepherds up out of disgrace. In John chapter 4, the Bible said Jesus must needs go through Samaria, come to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Amen. And Jesus said on the well, and there come a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said, give me to drink, for his disciples going into the city to buy mead. She said, how is it thou being a Jew ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritan. He said, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it was, said to thee, give me the drink. Thou asking him a living what he gave. Hey, amen. And she said, sir, the well is deep. You have nothing to draw with. From whence thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave me this well, drank to himself and his children and his cattle? He said, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinketh the water I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of living water. Spring it up, she said, sir. Give me this water that I thirst not. This old gal had been married 5 times. She was living with somebody out of wedlock at the time. I said that really kind. Amen. Can you imagine being married 5 times? Hallelujah. I can't imagine. Amen. My brother was married to 3 different women. Amen. If you put all of his brain in a box of dynamite, wouldn't blow the fuzz off a piece. Hallelujah. I'm going to hang around with the one I married. Hey, I don't know how that went over, but I like saying it anyhow. Hey, that old gal didn't go there to get saved. She was hoping nobody else be at that well. She didn't know Jesus. He went down there and sat on the well. How long did he sit around waiting on you? Hey, he knew you was a coming. You didn't know he's going to be there. He's the one that does this thing. Hey, she was hoping she wouldn't run into anybody. She run into God himself. And before that story's over, she threw her water pot down, took the well to the house, said to the men of that city, come see all men who told me all things. And everybody, is this not the Christ? I tell you one thing, the first thing you want to do, if you say you're saved and you ain't never told nothing about it, you need to junk that profession. Amen. If it ain't worth telling, it ain't worth having. Hallelujah. She'd never been to no Sunday school. She'd never been to no soul winning seminar, whatever that is. She'd never been to Baptist church. Now I know you don't have to be a Baptist to be saved, but you got to be one to be right. Hallelujah. You say, I'm not a Baptist. You will be when you get to heaven. Just hang around. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to tell you, that went over real big right there. Felt a little rift on that. Must be a Democrat in the house. Hallelujah. Somewhere. Well, I'll leave that alone. Well, let me leave that alone. I killed a meat and dead in a hammer. Amen. First thing she want to do is tell everybody else who she had met. She really probably didn't know how to tell it real well. But if it's in you, you'll tell it. Amen. Well, anyway, lift her up out of total depravity Amen. Lift them shepherds out of disgrace. Amen. The old blind Bartimaeus sitting by the road begging over in Mark 10, some other place, and Jesus passed by. And he started crying out. He's in darkness. Amen. Jesus told Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You can't understand this Bible until God opens up your blinded eyes. Amen. You cannot understand the natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, or spirits are discerned, neither can he know them. You can read it unless the Holy Ghost turns the light on for you. You cannot understand it. Amen. Old blind Bartimaeus, it's tired of being in the dark. I got tired of being in the dark, didn't you? That's what sinners are. They live in the dark. They don't understand. They think we're crazy. Amen. I might be a nut, but I'm screwed on the right boat, one fellow said. Hallelujah. And he got to crying out. They tried to shut him up. He cried even louder. And the Lord opened up his blinded eyes. Amen. The only one that can open up blinded eyes is God. Amen. That's a miracle. And God opened up his blinded eyes. Paul said, "But if my gospel be hid, it's hid to them, Lord, because the God of this world blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine into them." You're just in spiritual darkness. I'm not in the dark. I don't have to watch Fox News to find out what's going on. They're not going to drive them Jews into the ocean. They're not going to wipe out God's earthly covenant people. He loves them. They got a special place in the heart of God, and God's going to fulfill every promise. It's going to really get ugly on them, a lot more ugly than we've ever seen. Hey, this guy Hitler, will look like a Sunday school teacher when it comes to this Antichrist. But I'm not going to worry about it, because I ain't going to be here when all that's going on. I'm going to be up in glory. Hallelujah. I'm going to get snatched out of here one of these days. Somebody said, "Don't make no difference. I'm alive or dead." Well, it matters to me. Amen. Amen. I'd much rather be alive when you. Somebody said, "I'm not afraid to die." So how you know? You ain't tried that yet. Hallelujah. Amen. That's easy to say when you're doing pretty good. And it wouldn't be so bad if you was out mowing your yard, wasn't looking, and a truck run in your yard and killed you on your motorcycle, your lawnmower, wake up in heaven. But if you see the truck coming, that's another story right there. How did I get on that? I have no idea. Amen. It's good that, hey, we're not in the dark. When you get saved, we got the light of God's word. We got the Holy Ghost living in us. We have an unction of the Holy One. I know all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to unity of faith, under the knowledge of the Son of God, under a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about every wind and dark by the sleight of men, by the kind of Christ, while by lying way deceived, but speaking the truth in love, but glory to him in all things which is head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together, compacted with every joint, supply, cord, effectual, working every part, making increase of the body, edifying itself. Could I get an amen? I worked hard on that. Hallelujah. That didn't impress you much. You say you talk fast. I drank some coffee earlier you could paint a fence with. Hallelujah. If you can't get the Holy Ghost on you, drink some of that. Most folks don't know the difference anyhow. Hallelujah. That was a smart aleck thing to say. Amen. Hey, I'm glad I'm not in the dark. I hate what's happening. I hate it. I despise this woman. You say God love, you're supposed to love everybody. Well, if you try hard enough, you can hate some of them. Hallelujah. You got to put out a real effort. That went over real good. That went over real good, didn't it? Praise God. You got some sissies in this crowd or something. Amen. I'm just trying to say something here. Hey, amen. Amen. Well, I messed up the meeting on that. Amen. I'm going to finish this or choke on it one. Amen. I got some notes right here anyhow. Hey, old Mary Magdalene, she's demon possessed. She was a Baptist before she met the Lord. But you know, she had a real problem. The Lord cast the demons out of this woman. There is some folks that's demon possessed. You do prison work, you know there's folks demon possessed. Where they went a little further than their dead spirit towards God and their Adamic sinful nature. They've opened themselves up through drugs, alcohol, occult religion, and let the demons of hell occupy them. Amen. Isn't that right? But the Lord loves them. Amen. Mary Magdalene's the first one who got to view the Lord when he resurrected. He loved her. He's concerned about demon-possessed people. Mark chapter 4, he got the disciples on the ship, told them he was going to the other side. Amen. And he went to sleep in the ship, and a terrible storm blew up. And it seemed like those disciples forgot that he's going to make it to the other side. You can't go under as long as he's on board. Never leave us, never forsake us. He didn't promise it wouldn't get a little rough along the way, but he did promise we're going to make it. Yes. Amen. They thought they was going to go under. Hey, Master, the storm didn't shake him up, didn't wake him up. But when they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Because of them, he rose up. So why are you so afraid? Why you got no faith? Then he said to the winds and the waves, peace, and there's a great calm. Sure. Yeah. And then they landed on the beach in Mark chapter 5. Yes, sir. Running into this naked man. That's where most people get naked, at the beach. Get up and sing in the choir, oh, how I love Jesus. And then go down there and ship off like a lizard. This is my first and last time here, but I'm going to have a good time, you understand? You couldn't cover a hummingbird what you wear down there. Anybody want to testify right there on that high note? But you know, in spite of that old boy, you know, he's naked. He had no covering for his nakedness. We all know he's a perfect picture of you and I before we got saved. Yeah. Amen. We had no righteousness, no covering for our filthy sins. Amen. Bible said he lived among the tombs. And Ephesians 2, it said, and you had the quickened who were dead. That's why sinners like to hang around beer joints and pool rooms and dance halls. They like to hang around other dead people, spiritually dead people. Like to hang around in the dark. Amen. Amen. He liked to hang around. He lived among the dead. Amen. And the Bible said they'd band him with fetters and bands. They lock him up. As soon as he made parole. Amen. Like a dog going to his vomit in the south being washed toward Walnut's mire. It was his nature. He's going right back at it. He cut himself. He's suicidally full of devils. And the Lord landed on the shore. Cast the devil out of him. Amen. Found him sitting. He'd never been able to sit before. No peace. No peace. Come unto me, all ye that labor heavily, and I'll give you rest. I remember before I got saved, I had no peace. When I got saved, Preacher Winston said, David, like to say a word. I said, Preacher, I've never felt such peace. That's all I knew. I'm glad that's... So you can't go on how you feel. That's all I had to go on. Sure. I don't know nothing about the written word. Amen. Right. I just know when I got right with God, God filled my heart full of peace. Amen. Well, sure. Where was I at? Amen. It was clothed. God covered up his nakedness. Yeah. That's what he does with you when you get saved. He imputes his righteousness to you. Right. Sure. Takes the blood of Christ, washes your past, present, all your possible sins away, and he imputes his right. He clothed you in his righteousness. Yeah. And when God sees you, he sees you like he sees his own son. In his way of looking at you, you're just as righteous as Jesus Christ himself is. And he sealed you with the Holy Spirit upon you. Put you in his family, sealed you up, baptized you in his body, took up his abode in you, and gave you eternal life. Amen. Isn't that right? I'm trying to hurry. I promise I am. First thing you want to do is say, Lord, I want to go with you. That's built in. If you say you're saved, you don't want to go follow the Lord. You go to church about 3 times a year, you need to junk that profession. You go on Sunday morning, show up at 11 o'clock, mad because they ain't done by 12, and go outside and smoke during the invitation, you need to junk that. Ain't we having the time now? Amen. That's right. Amen. I got saved. I got saved on Sunday morning. Show back up on Sunday night before I knew it was a sin not to be there. They didn't even count you being saved where I got saved till you showed up on Wednesday. Some of them believed you could lose salvation. Some of them believed forever. I didn't know how long it was going to last. But I knew as wicked as a sinner I'd be. If you could lose it for laying out on Wednesday, I sure didn't want to go to hell for just laying out on Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? How am I doing on that one? Amen. Following the Lord when you get saved is like headlights on a car. You don't order them extra. They come built in. Hey, some things when you get saved, before you know anything about the written word, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Amen. Amen. And the headlights on the car is for you can see in the dark. The Holy Ghost moves in. He wants you to be able to see in the dark. He wants you to stay in the center of the road. He wants you to keep you out of the ditches.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He wants to follow the Lord. Am I doing any good here? And the Lord said, no. One place, I think it's Mark 5 and Luke 8, you see these stories. One place he said, I want you to go tell what great things I've done. Other place he said, I want you to go show. You know, some people's families give up on them. You're going to have to prove you got something. You're going to have to show them something.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But someone, them old buddies run with you, know you've changed. Amen. You can tell them, they'll believe you.
Right.
Am I doing any good right here?
Yes, sir.
And the Bible said he published it in Decapolis. Now, I'm not a Hebrew or Greek scholar. I got an English Bible. I straight away, but I'm not against word study. So don't go out here saying I'm against study, and I'm not. But the truth of the matter is, that word, they say, means 10 cities.
Sure.
That he published it in 10 cities. That's a pretty big area, ain't it?
Yeah. Even
if it's just villages all together, that's a pretty good span.
Yeah.
Now, I thought to myself, you have to read between the lines of some of my preaching. It's in here. I got to think to myself, how did he go to 10 cities? Maybe he didn't actually go to all of them. This is my thinking. Maybe he just got credit for it all. One person, 10 cities. It's amazing what one person can do. Maybe one day one of his old nude running buddies was standing at the village gate, dried blood and smelled like a goat. Amen. Naked, and he heard somebody coming up the road, shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Got all that old blood off of him. Then took a bath, got his hair cut like a man. Got a Bible under his arm, smile on his face. And that old nude running buddy said, hey, man, what is happening? Where you been? Let me tell you who I met down at the beach. Told that fella. That fella got saved. That's two. Them two told two more. That's four. Four, eight, 16, 32, 64. That's as far as I went to school. Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That may not be so, but you'd be surprised. My grandma was really one of the main reasons I'm saved. My mom quit drinking moonshine liquor and got saved. Quit making it. My mom couldn't read a word. She couldn't read one word. She was illiterate. She couldn't write. She never got no schooling. Didn't know how to drive. Used to drive turkeys across Clinch Mountain, which is 25 miles from my house, to the market when she, in the early 1900s, barefooted. Little old mountain backward woman. She got saved. She couldn't read the Bible, but she started going to church. She'd hear him say, go out in the highways, hedges, compel him, come in, my house might be filled. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You can't catch no fish without some bait.
Right.
And I was a dope shooting, dope snorting, drunken fool. A bum. Amen. They let me stay at their house. I was her pet. In spite of my wickedness. Amen. She said, hey David, it's Christmas. The birth of Jesus. I believe Jesus was virgin born before I ever got saved. I knew historical, biblical, historical stories. I knew that. I believed that. I didn't know what it was about. I go because I loved her. She could get me to do things. And in Easter, I knew this man named Jesus. I believed he bodily resurrected.
Sure.
As much as a sinner could believe. So I went to church at Christmas sometime with her. Faith come by hearing. Hearing by the word of God.
Sure.
She couldn't take you down the Roman road. And who cares?
Who cares?
Hallelujah. She didn't know how to read, but she knew she'd get me down there at that church. And I went to church sometime at Christmas. I went at Easter, and then she said, hey, they're having homecoming. Frying chicken, tater salad, pies and cakes. Even a drunk could go for a free meal, hallelujah. Amen. Put a chicken wing on the hook. Amen. I go down there to eat that food, man. They put on the dog, you know. And before you got to eat that chicken, that preacher would hang you out over hell for about 45 minutes, make you feel like a sheep-killing dog. And when he got done preaching, I don't want no chicken. I want it out of there. Hey, it'll work. If you just keep plugging. Well, I'm dragging this thing out, ain't it? Well, where was I at? My ma ain't never been nowhere. She's in heaven now, but I mean, couldn't drive. I've been all over America. I've been in some foreign countries. I've been in 50 prisons in 1 year telling people about Jesus. Everywhere I've been, she's been. When she gets the judgment seat, am I making any sense right there? Well, let me hurry here. I'm getting hung up here. Amen. Well, he came to lift up some people. Then he came to bring down some people. Every mountain and hill should be brought low. Here he's speaking to those that's full of pride. We all got too much pride. I'm afraid God might be getting ready to get the pride out of America if we're not careful. Pride goeth before destruction, the Holy Spirit before a fall. Amen. Humble. You got to get humble. It's not necessarily bending your knee, but if you're physically able, that's a good place to get. Amen. But you can get humble. It has something to do with your heart. Your heart. Humbling your heart before God. Pride. Amen. Let the brother low the grieved rejoice and exalted, and the rich he made low as the flower of the grass. He shall pass away. Amen. And then also in James chapter 2, my brother, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to perfect. That come in your assembly, a man with a gold ring, goodly apparel, come in also a poor man in vile raiment. Have respect to him that were at the gate, clothing. Say to him, sit thou here in a good place. Say the poor, stand there. Sit down in my foot. Are you not then partial yourself, become judges of evil thought? Hearken, my brother, have God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom which he promised him, but you've despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name of which you're called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to person, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Sometimes we get to thinking we're a little better than somebody. Am I doing any good here? I know if I am or not. I'm getting nervous because I ain't getting no help right here. Hallelujah. Amen. We all got too much pride. There's some good pride. It's good pride. Brush your teeth at least once a day. Everybody else appreciate it. There's nothing wrong with that kind of pride. Amen. Take a bath at least once a day. I know everybody appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be ugly. Y'all still out there? Amen. I don't know if you are or not. But you know, pride, we all, God has to get the pride out of you. Over in Luke 18, you got the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee bragged about himself, exalted himself, said, I'm not like this publican. He looked down on him. That old public was bothered by sin. He smote himself on the chest. Said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. Amen. That publican went away justified. Pharisee walked away dignified. Publican walked away forgiven. The Pharisee walked away fool. The publican walked away saved. The Pharisee walked away stubborn. The publican left with redemption. The Pharisee left with religion. One died and went to hell. Other died and went to heaven. It all has to do with humility. If you're not willing to humble yourself before God and realize you're just a dirty sinner, you ain't no better than nobody else. You'll die and go to hell in that pride. Am I doing any good right here? Bible said in Proverbs 29:1, he that be an author of proven heart, the next shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I don't know if I read this somewhere or heard somebody say it preaching, but they said if you're not saved by the time you're 30, there's one out of 15,000 chances you'll get in. I don't know how they come up with that, but that means the longer you put it off, the hard-hearted you get, the more pride. Not many real old people get saved. I saw an 82-year-old man up in West Virginia church here not long ago got saved. Amen. That's not the norm. Amen. That's an exception. You need to get in while you're young, neighbor. You need to get in while you're young. Amen. Amen. Sometimes riches, money can fill you full of pride. I keep saying that. I am trying to hurry. My wife said the best preaching I ever done. First time I preached, I couldn't say nothing. Just got up so nervous and cried for about 5 minutes. And she said, you ain't done no better since. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Nothing like a little encouragement. Hallelujah. You know, that rich young ruler came to the Lord, fell down. Master, what must I do? And he named six commandments. He said, I've observed these from my youth up. He said, one thing thou lackest. Go sell what you have, give it to the poor, take up thy cross, and follow me. And the Bible said he went away sorrowful, for he had much goods. He'd been better off if he didn't have a nickel in his pocket. He didn't want to give that money up. And nothing wrong with money. Somebody said, money don't make you happy. I said, how come everybody ain't gotten as miserable? It will make your day a little brighter, you have to admit. Amen, a little money in your pocket. And at the end of the rich man can't be saved, but it says like a camel going through the eye of a needle. I really believe it means a camel, a real camel, going through the eye of a sewing needle. I don't believe it's some gate over in Jerusalem he has to hunker down. I don't believe that nonsense. You've been reading somebody else's book. Amen. You need to stick with the Bible. That's what it says. It ain't that it's impossible. It ain't impossible God, but it's pretty. In other words, he has a hard time humbling himself. Y'all remember when you was poor? I can vaguely recollect. Hallelujah. You ever heard anybody say they forgot the raisin? You know, everybody I was around, most people, not everybody, but much of them was pretty slim on cash. You know what I mean? Poor. Over home, they have what you call a Raytown. That's where the real poor lived. And when it used to, when it rained real lot, it flooded them, and a rescue squad had to go down in there with John boats to get them out of that. Then they rearranged all the creeks and the streams and stopped all that and built a project over there. Amen. You ever see anybody you know used to run around with you and just same level you was, and then they get to doing a little better? Uh-huh. Now, I'm not against doing better. You're not going to make me feel bad because I drove a car over here and didn't ride a mule.
Right.
You understand what I mean? I like it. And you're not going to make me feel. You can go cut firewood all you want to. I'm going over at the wall and push that button.
Amen.
I'm hot.
Amen.
Let's get this cool down, amen.
Amen.
I like it, stuff, don't you? Yeah. And I know some of you like old time religion. Hey, some of it I don't like. I don't care nothing about going out through the path. I like indoor plumbing, amen. Yeah. Nothing wrong with some of them blessings, but some folks, they forget the raising. They get to doing a little better, you know, kind of move uptown a little bit, start driving a little bit of car, and then they get to looking down on those. Got to watch that stuff. It slip in on you, get to thinking something. Think you're somebody. I'll tell you, nothing wrong. And I'm forgetting a good education. And nothing wrong with that, but you got to watch that too.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. And I'm forgetting all you can get. You're going to need to get a decent job probably, but you got to watch that stuff.
Wow.
Amen. I mean, you just got to watch it. If you ain't careful, you get a little education and you think Ma and Paul are a little backward, and you quit coming to our country churches, move downtown to the first church. Where they have a little praise leader. One of them little sissy Gaither hairdos. How am I doing right there? By the way, some of them old boys they really are. They really are. Hallelujah. That went over good, didn't it? You regret asking me now, don't you? Some folks, I'm like one preacher said, I preach around some great preachers. You say, how you know they are? Because they said they was.
Yeah.
Ain't you? I've been around some thought this a little bit. They get them a little PhD. I got a PhD. I said, well, I got a BLT for Mackey D's. Who cares? Hallelujah. How about the Holy Ghost? You know anything about the Holy Ghost? Some of the best preachers I ever heard never even got to go to school, but they had the Holy Ghost on them. Hey, you walk in on you and you feel like you would need to get right with God. They didn't have to say nothing. Had so much God on them. Because it wasn't full of that pride. Well, let me go on here. Amen. Well, you got to get rid of the pride. I'm glad God got the pride. Knocked the pride out of me. Got me saved. Well, came to lift some up. Came to bring some down. Came to straighten some people out. And the crooked should be made straight. That's pretty much every one of us. We come forth from our mother's womb bent, crooked towards sin. Amen. We can't help ourselves. It's just in us, amen. Amen. It's just in us. We're born that way, crooked. Some folks are so crooked when they die, you have to screw them in the ground. You know, I've got some family members. I've been pretty rotten myself, but I've got some, you know, they give you a shirt off their back, but most likely don't belong to them.
Right.
Crooked. I said, well, you loan me $20. I cross my heart, hope to die, poke a finger in my eye, scouts on, or pay you next Tuesday. You can forget it. You ain't going to see that $20. Just give it to them. Say, here, get on out of here. Quit lying. You know them ones that assign their name on the dotted line for this merchandise, pay you this much money this time every month, amen, until it belongs to me. You might get two payments out of them. Then they get mad at you because the bank comes and repossesses the car that they wouldn't pay for. Crooked. I'm talking about crooked. Am I doing any good right there? Crooked. I've been pretty crooked, so I'm not picking on nobody. I bet everybody's crooked. Drugs and alcohol make a fool out of you, make a liar out of you, and make a pauper out of you. Amen. Crooked. Over in Luke 13, there's a woman that had been bowed over by the devil, bowed together. Bible says she's bowed together. It doesn't say she's bowed over. She's bowed together. Her head and her feet are probably pretty much the same place. The devil done that to her. She could never. Bible says she was unable to lift herself. They used to tell me, David, get a haircut, quit smoking, quit doping, go to church and do better. Okay. I want to. God knows I want to. I just couldn't get up. 18 years, if she'd come down there to that synagogue. I believe it's the last time the Lord was going to go in this synagogue. So it's her last time, last chance to get straightened up. Could be your last chance to get straightened up. If she went down there two times a week for 18 years, be almost 1,900 times, I think I'm right. Can you see her? She just kept going because she wanted to straighten up. She didn't give up. I remember that morning I walked in that church, said I bowed together, seeing the world, my flesh, and the devil. God, how am I going to quit this doping? How am I going to quit this cussing? How am I going to quit all this wicked, filthy? You know, she couldn't see nothing but the dirt. You got to get sick of looking at the dirt. She couldn't look up and see his deity. She couldn't do nothing but look at the ground. She was unable to see his glory. But she hobbled in there, no doubt. It was very embarrassing. Little kids probably made fun of her. I remember that morning, that's the way I felt when I walked to Fairview Bible Baptist Church with my mom and pa went. I was bowed together. Sin. 24 years old. I was so sick of the dirt. I was so sick of looking at the filth. I was so sick of it. I couldn't see him. She couldn't see the Lord. But he said that he saw her. I'm glad he saw me. I'm glad he saw me. Then he called her. No man could come to me except the Father who sent me. When you hear my voice, harden not your heart. You got to hear his voice. He'd be speaking to you. Then the Bible said he called her to himself. And then he touched her. I'm glad he touched me that day. And immediately, the Bible said she was made straight. It wasn't a 12-step program. She didn't have to eat a wafer, get in the water, do any kind of work. He touched her. Amen. He straightened her up right there. It's an immediate thing. I'm glad he straightened me up. You say, preacher, you ever been bent a little bit since then? Oh, yeah. He knows how to straighten you back up. Amen. He chastens and scourges them he loves. Amen. Isn't that right? You might be like that guy over on Luke 10. You might stagger off from Jerusalem, go down toward Jericho, fell among thieves. He didn't mean to. Which stripped him. Left him half dead. Went plumb dead. I've been half dead. I've been in a ditch since I've been saved. Nothing to brag about. I didn't know how to live right. I wanted to. You can't get right and not want to live right. If you don't live right, you ain't never got right. Because if you ever got right and you ain't right, you won't get right if you ever been right. Ain't that right? Well, sure, that's right. I know that's right. Hey, God, I know it's right. Whatever I said, I know it's right. But that good Samaritan came down there and got him out of that ditch. The Lord knows how to get you out of the ditch. You belong to him. You've been bought with a price. He's not going to leave you out there. He'll straighten you back up. Amen. He'll either reach his hand in kindness or he'll slap you out of the ditch. Amen. That's up to you. He'll chase you out of that ditch. Well, I know I'm having a better time. Some of you are. I'm winding down right here. Amen. I'm glad he's straightening some folks up. Then last of all, he came to smooth over some people. He said the rough way shall be made smooth. Amen. There's some folks just rougher than other folks. You know, everybody's a sinner, but there's some folks that's a lot rougher They express their rough, sinful nature outwardly. You know, they got a vulgar mouth. They don't care who's around, women, men, kids. They're going to cuss, talk vulgar. Yeah. Amen. Some of them don't even realize how vulgar they talk that much. They don't even realize how bad this sounds. This rough. I like old Simon Peter. He's pretty rough, wasn't he? I liked him when he cut that man's ear off. That's my kind of Christianity right there. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you don't like it, cut their ear off. Praise God. I believe I've cut a ear or two off here tonight. Hallelujah. And the Lord ain't been nowhere to fix it. Amen. Amen. I like Simon. Old fisherman, you know, always sticking both feet in his mouth at one time. He loved the Lord then. He's just going about it in the wrong way, expressing it. Always bragging. I'll die for you. I'll go to jail for you. I'll do whatever. I'm not like the rest of this crowd. Simon, Satan desired to sift you as wheat. The devil wants to shake everything in you that's any good. But as I prayed, that thy faith fail not. And Simon, when I need a friend the most, you're not just going to fail me in one day, but you're going to fail me three times in one day when I needed somebody to stand with me. You're going to fail me three times before the cock crows. Simon was cussing. He's cussing. That's pretty rough. He's the same man. Cussing. Amen. I've tried to cut back on that myself since I got saved. Cussing. Cussing. Hallelujah. Am I doing any good? I'm trying. These two men are saved. The rest of you don't know where you're at. Hallelujah. But you know, when after the resurrection, day of Pentecost, the Lord smoothed old Simon out. 3,000 got saved. Can you imagine? They say he's crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to be crucified. He knows how to smooth you out. Some of y'all were raised in church all your life. Your mom and dad had some moral fiber, godly fear, holiness. Amen. Some integrity. They were honest people. And they kept you in the house of God from the time you was born. And they taught you God's word, and they tried to raise you like you ought to be around the house of God, and you knew all that truth. And when you got saved, you already had a foundation to stand on. Yes. Right. And it was pretty much a smooth transition. I've always envied that. I've always said, I wish I'd got saved. Yes, sir. I really don't know if I could have. You ever wonder why he didn't get saved before he got saved? I never did think about it until I thought about it. I never thought about it until the morning I thought about it. Does that make any sense? I don't know if it did or not. I can't explain that to you. If you got that family raised you, you ought to thank God tonight. You don't have all that filth haunting you in your mind. Even though the Lord don't remember it, you can't forget it. Amen. Right? I was raised rough. My mom and dad were drunkards. I'm shutting down right now, I promise. My mom and dad's drunkards. They did what sinners do. They just sinners. My dad was a World War II veteran. Went through the war in the Navy. Joined the Army Air Corps, which is Air Force now after the war. And my dad was rough as you get. Cussing sinner. My mother was just as tough as him. She drank a fifth of liquor, and you'd never know it. I'd know she was drunk, but you wouldn't. She'd never stagger. I'm not being disrespectful. They got saved before they died. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the way we was raised. My grandpa and grandma made moonshine liquor. Amen. And I've seen my grandma so drunk she couldn't get up out of the floor. Drank on that liquor. My grandpa drank that liquor. He'd get very violent. He'd beat that old lady up. And she'd get drunk, put up with him. And that's what I was around. Amen. Right. My grandpa would get drunk. He's a very violent man when he's drunk. And when I was 14 years old, I was this little cussing, smart-aleck boy with a chip on my shoulder, bitter to my heart, and he'd been drunk, slapping her around. She was drunk. I stayed with him in the summertime, and I got sassed that old man while he was drunk. I used some cuss words and talked back to him, and he shot me with a 12-gauge shotgun, left me laying in the patch of woods up behind his house. That's pretty rough, ain't it? I never did sass him again, though. That broke me from sucking eggs, you know what I mean? That's pretty rough, ain't it? I'm just telling you how it is. I wouldn't even tell these stories. They're in heaven now. I wouldn't embarrass them. My dad, we lived up in Ohio. We moved up there. I'd stay down the summer with him. My dad said, I'm coming down there to kill that old man. I said, I'm okay. This bird shot, I got him all up and down my left side of my head, my face. Scared me more than it hurt me. The sheriff said, if that's my boy, I'd put him under a jail. I said, well, I'm not your boy. My grandpa had a lot of money. I could have sued him, took everything he owned. It was my pa. Police looking for him. My grandma's still about half drunk. I watched her slip out of the house. All my family come to get me. I watched her slip out of the house, go up through this hayfield behind her house, a little bag of food. And I followed her, and it's pouring down rain. And my grandpa sitting under this big tree, soaking wet. And I walked up behind him. I said, "Hey, Paul." And he turned around. He's weeping. He had one eye. He'd been shot in the face, one eye, and a gold-plated tooth. I said, "Paul." And he turned around and he's weeping. He said, "David, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me for what I've done." Not long after that, they visit Fairview Bible Baptist Church. When they come home that day, they throw the liquor out the door. Put the shotguns in the closet. Started going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Something wonderful happened to them. God began the process of smoothing them out. My brother, my aunt shot my brother. Him and my uncle was in a fight, drunk. My aunt shot my brother, standing up above him, two or three steps above, shot him, went through both his lungs. And they called me. I was preaching then. He said, "Your brother," they called me in the middle of the night, Mom. Said, "Your brother's laying out here in the driveway bleeding to death." And the doc said he ain't going to make it to the mercy room, but he made it. That's pretty rough, ain't it? Pretty rough. I'm trying to describe something here, and I'm shutting it down. My same brother took a pocket knife and cut me open like a pumpkin. The only reason he got me before I got him. It's just the way it was. Pretty rough, ain't it? You know, in spite of all that, we still eat Thanksgiving dinner together. You know why? Because we're family. Folks around Baptist Church, they can get a tooth pulled, get a couple stitches in it, and you don't go visit them, send them some flour in the car, they won't come back for 6 weeks. Hey, we're family. We're going to eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb together. We're going to spend eternity together. Hey, quit carrying your feelings around on your sleeve. We be family. Am I doing any good here? My grandpa got saved. I lived with him because they give me a place to sleep. I was so wicked. He read the Bible to me at the breakfast table. I mean, I'm a long-haired hippie. Can you see me now? Me, Nixon, and the Pope. What an idiot. Amen. He asked me Bible questions. He knew I didn't know the answer. But God was using him like David when he went to face Goliath, went down in that brook, got five smooth stones. That water knocked the edges off. That word of God had been working on that old man. And the same water that started working, smoothing him out, he started working on me. Amen. And the Bible said all flesh shall see the salvation of God. You can't cram Jesus down nobody's throat. But if you've really been saved, you've been down in the valley of sin, everybody knows how ungodly you was. Now you're singing in the choir. Everybody knows what's happened to you. You can see it. Amen. If you've been so full of pride, you've been walking around like, shutting around like a baney rooster, like you're better than everybody else, and God's knocked the props out running you. Now you're faithful to church. People can see that. If you've been so crooked, if you they wouldn't trust you as far as they could spit because your word wasn't no good. And God's made an honest person out of you now. Amen. And you're the treasure at the church. They can see that.
Yeah, sure.
Then if you've been so rough, though vile, vulgar mouth, wicked, ungodly sinner, and you've got saved and God's word's been smoothing you out, they can see that.
Yeah.
Can they see that in you? Then let me ask you this, and I'm, are you saved? If Jesus come tonight, are you ready to go? Because if you ain't, you're going to be left. You got big trouble then. I know I've been long-winded. I've enjoyed it. Nice seeing y'all. Probably never get to see you again. God bless your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Preacher, you do whatever you think needs to be done. Thank y'all for putting up with me. Amen.